Imagine if you were the last surviving member of the human race. Everything you loved and hated is burned in the fire. Earth is a distant memory, as your space vessel is your only home. Loss, isolation, grief is your constant companion. However, there's a small glimmer of hope, a mustard seed of faith that pushes you to seek answers and to reclaim what was lost.
Welcome to Earth Stories, special episode.
My special guest is Karen Hemdahl. She's the writer and host of the multi-award-winning dystopian sci-fi drama, Sheikha. You've heard her before on this show. She played one of the characters, and you're going to hear even more from her in season 7. As you know, I don't do a lot of interviews. Just once in a purple moon do I sit down with somebody and talk about the creative process. And I have no one better than Karen. I've learned a lot just by talking to her about her creative process and how she cries over her characters. If you are a creative soul, you don't want to miss this interview. My new season is starting later on this year, but for now, fasten your seatbelt, put on your headphone, as I take you for a ride through the atmosphere with Karen Hemdahl. Thank you so very much, Karen, for being on a Welcome to Earth Stories. You're one of my very, very special guests. So how are you doing?
Thank you so much. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm such a big fan of your show. I've listened to every single episode. And for me to listen to every single episode of a podcast, that's a big deal, because even though I'm a podcaster, I am very, very particular, especially when it comes to audio fiction. Now, after listening to all of the episodes, especially the first season, I wanted to get you on the shows just to ask you, what was your motivation behind Sheikha?
I think Sheikha came out of writing about loneliness and isolation. And the thing is, with Sheikha, I had the idea before COVID, but I wrote the first season during COVID. And I think you can definitely feel traces of that in the story, because it's so much, you know, if you have, all of us were so isolated, right? And then for Sheikha, it's what you can do with sci-fi, which is you can go to the extreme. She believes that she may be the last human alive. She's all alone on the moon base where she grew up, and she doesn't know what to do or where to go. And she's just longing for that connection. As I was writing it, it was just so eerie in a way to write it during COVID, which was such a weird time.
Now to growing concerns about the deadly coronavirus officially hitting the US. Here's what we know.
The latest UK case of coronavirus is the first to be contracted within the country rather than abroad.
This woman apparently being taken against her will by China's newly deployed quarantine squads. A man also pulled from the apartment, forcibly taken down the stairs.
But the actual sort of impetus for writing Sheikha came a few years earlier, when it was the 50th anniversary of the moon landing in 2019.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There was this monologue competition. Write something about the moon. And I was like, okay, a monologue about the moon, a monologue about the moon, a moonologue. Huh, that's fun. Okay, the first man on the moon. And I wondered, okay, who was the first woman on the moon? And it turns out that there hadn't been a woman on the moon at that point. And I know now there will be a woman on the moon. At least they're planning it. I was like, okay, so what's that going to look like? Because there was so much fanfare, the first man on the moon and the steps.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
So I wrote a monologue featuring Sheikha's mother, Valen, as she'd sort of ended up on the moon base. She was worried about what was going on Earth. And that's part of the reason she stayed. And then she had a child on the moon and she got more and more concerned. And just this sort of someone saying, okay, I was the first woman on the moon, but there was no fanfare. I was just an engineer sent there to do a job, basically. So that contrast I thought was really interesting.
I like that part of the story. And there was no fanfare whatsoever. Usually with stories like this, when it's a lead character, a female lead character, especially if they do something for the first time, there's a lot of pomp, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
There's a lot of celebration, but you downplayed it, which is a good tone. I like the tone that you took in the story. And also just speaking of isolation, you've really found the heartbeat of the story. Your story was sort of like a guilty pleasure for me.
Okay. Why guilty?
Because I feel that this is not supposed to be for me, but it was for me.
Oh.
The main character was emotional. It almost felt like she was breaking down. And so sometimes I need a good place to reflect on my own emotions. And I think that's what you did with the story. Probably because I'm a man.
Maybe.
And usually men are supposed to be strong and not get that emotional. I really felt for the character. All of her angst, all of her emotions, it felt very raw, very real. It didn't feel like if it was something that's staged. Can you identify with the main character? Is that what you were feeling at the time as well?
I mean, absolutely, in many ways. I mean, you've said so many lovely things now about my show. So thank you so much for that. That just makes me all sort of embarrassed and happy all at once. But it is truly lovely to find people who connect with what you have created. I believe that you are one of the listeners who've really, you know, you really get what I was trying to do, which is so lovely. And I believe that the whole sort of what is for who, you know, the stories are for who enjoy the stories.
Oh, I believe that too.
Yeah, I understand that feeling of thinking, maybe this is not for me. Maybe it's not sort of supposed to be for me. But, you know, it was obviously for you because you enjoyed it. And I love that, you know, stories can reach in and sort of bridge differences between us.
That's the incredible thing about a story. So I was listening to a podcast for over 2 years, and I didn't realize that until the host said it, she said on the air, she says, "This is a ladies' podcast." And then I thought, wait a second, I didn't know that.
Well, obviously not.
In listening for 2 years, I didn't know this podcast was just for women.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, oh, wow, it's only for women. I'm going to stop listening now because the host said so.
Yeah.
No, it's the stories. And stories could just bridge the divide, right? The great divide.
Yeah.
And that's the power of your story.
I love that. And I think it was even not a good thing for the host of that show that you were listening to say that, because you're sort of excluding half the population or more by saying that it's for women. So maybe they should have thought about that before saying that.
And she came out so strong, Karen. You should have heard her. She said,
"And you know this show is only for the ladies."
Okay. That's very gendered.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm still going to listen to you.
I think I missed answering your question about if I could see myself in Cheka, the main character of my show. I sort of went on a different track. I mean, I definitely can, because I think all of my life I've been sort of, I'm one of those people who sort of teeters between extrovert and introvert. I think I'm sort of on the side of introvert, but I can be very extroverted when needed. And so all my life I've needed solitude, but I have been pained by loneliness when that has been involuntary. For Cheka, it was definitely the case of delving into those emotions for myself, of both the I am so alone and how does that make me feel, but also I want connection. Where can I find connection? Because although Cheka very much is a story of isolation and sort of the the depth of space and the void sort of sucking at you, it is also so much a story of connection. Where is my connection? How do I find connection?
I still don't know what happened. There were no SOS transmissions, no reports of disasters, or no more than usual. All of a sudden, it just stopped. The lights went out, the comms went silent, and all I could see from here were the raging forest fires. But those have been going for years. They've spread in the past week, though. I can only guess it's because no one's fighting them.
And of course, for Cheka, she finds it. She goes in the first season, she sort of travels toward Mars because she's heard that there might be humans there. But on the way, she connects with the two sentient AIs on board and sort of redefines her own conception of what is, or her own concept of what is a person that I can connect with. Maybe I don't need it to be a human. Maybe these AIs can be my friends. You know, that's another level of looking at what is connection and what is isolation, I guess.
I think that's well said. When I was listening to the show, and I even said this to my wife the other day ago, that sometimes I have a monk living inside of me where I feel that I want to go up on top of a mountain surrounded by books, no cell phone, no computer, just by myself, grow a beard, write a whole bunch of books, and that would be my existence. And sometimes I feel that way.
And not talk to anyone, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And then at times I do know that, hey, I need connection. Mm. It sounds romantic. In my mind, it is the monk life, but I need people around me. I felt that way with your main character. She desperately needed somebody. And when the AI showed up in the story, this by far is the best depiction of AI that I've ever seen in a story where the AI feels human. By far, this is the best.
What do you feel like talking about today, Cheka?
I don't know. Sorry. Ooh, I'm tired. But that's nothing new.
Are you getting enough sleep?
I don't know.
Beep! You are not allowed to answer with "I don't know" more than once per session. Try again.
Not only did you give them a personality, because they definitely have their own unique personality, but they also have different accents as well.
Lei Chi, wonderful to see you.
How are you this fine evening?
I am very well, thank you.
That's very different with a lot of stories. It's not the straightforward English accent. What made you decide to take that route?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It has to do with, of course, English being my second language as well. I'm Swedish. But also, it was at the time I was sort of, I'd written that monologue or a moonologue, if you like, about Vale and Cheka's mother. And I'd sort of had the idea of, Cheka, I think I can make a longer story. There's more to this story, right? And I'd sort of quite early on realized that I want this to be, because in the monologue, Cheka is a child. And so I wanted it to be when Cheka was grown up, but she's only just turned 18. So she's very sort of young still. And then at the same time, I was talking to one of my voice actors for my previous podcast, Y2K Audio Drama.
Okay, places, please. We'll try again, everyone. Right. When you're ready, take two.
Charlotte Norup, who is Danish. And she said something like, could I audition for an AI role, do you think, with my Danish accent? And I thought, of course you can. And then that got me thinking, why are they not AI accented AIs from different languages? You usually have either like a British accent, general British accent, or a general American accent. That's usually what you get with synthesized AI voices. And so that made me think, okay, I want the AIs to have a sort of very definite language base and to speak in that language. because I wanted to differentiate them. But all, and I created this whole origin story of they were created by someone who, an engineer who wanted to create AIs for all the different languages in the world at that time. And they only managed a certain amount before, you know, suffering from exhaustion, because that was exhausting. I also wanted to work with more actors from around the world and who do not necessarily have English as their first language, because that is something that I feel is important. It's something that I've been trying to, both with Cheka and my previous podcast, to bring into the English-speaking audio drama world, because it's still very rare. In the first season, I have a Danish one, which is Charlotte, who I'd worked with before. And her AI is called Hygge, which means coziness, sort of. It's a concept in Danish, which you may have heard of. Then I have Chinese Mandarin speaking AI called the Qi.
I like her.
Yeah. she's sort of very perky and sarcastic all at the same time. And then I have Trost, who's a German speaking AI, which is back at the moon base. And then in season two, I have a Brazilian Portuguese AI as well as the three. And then I have a Russian AI.
Cheka.
You have a Russian name. I am certain we will be very good friends.
I hope so.
The word Cheka is Russian. It means seagull, and it was the call sign of the first woman in space.
The first woman flies in space, cosmonaut Valentina Tereshkova. In her 48 orbits around the Earth, Tereshkova tallies more flight time in space than all the Mercury astronauts combined.
Since she happens to be Russian. That's why Valen named Cheka that, because, you know, it was my seagull, but also the first child born in space, the first human child born in space, as far as she knew.
I think that's one of the magic of your show is the voices, is the rich accents that you give the characters. And also, just to harken back to what I was saying about the AI, and I like the fact that there was, with your main character, she didn't feel that she could relate to them. She wanted human beings.
Yes.
And so she was fighting, and the struggle was real. She didn't want to communicate. They wanted to communicate to her. And then organically, she slowly but surely warmed up to them.
Organically.
And that made things much better for her, because she was completely isolated, completely shut off. Then later on in season one, she didn't treat them anymore as just software. She saw them as family, and they were there for her emotionally. And she, in a way, was kind of there for them emotionally. I've never seen AI characters that communicate. And after listening to your show, I was understanding things in a more philosophical way of what it is to be a human being.
Am I human? Or am I a subroutine set of programs?
Oh, that's amazing.
Well, you are amazing. You are an incredible writer, incredible visionary. It's hard to make characters believable, make them come to life.
It's alive! It's alive!
What was the hardest thing for you when it comes to this whole project?
I think the hardest thing is getting everyone to be their own character. And that's something that I, as a writer, generally work really hard at, because especially my protagonists tend to start off being sort of me, but not really. And I'm sure you can relate to that somewhat. So just making sure they had their own distinct voices on the page. And of course, I'm not going to spoil anything here, but for season one, I had five voices, so five characters to work with. And for season two, I had many more characters. And so, of course, season two was more challenging to write in that way, because it was not as contained and there were more sort of new characters to make sure you could understand who they were and what was going on with them, and that they were very distinct. And of course, one of the ways that sort of makes it easy in audio drama, when you use as many accents and many people from different places as I do, is that, of course, they do tend to sound very different, and it's easy to hopefully tell them apart. But also beyond that, in the writing, I really wanted them to have different characteristics and be different. And that's my rewrites. And I have a trusted friend who is always my script editor, and both sort of at the beginning of my projects talk me through ideas and, you know, plot ideas and plan out arcs and things like that. And then she reads my script and she always makes them so much better. And that's one of the things that she sort of jumps on. This character sounds just like this character. She always jumps on also because I'm not huge on big conflicts. So whenever I want there to be sort of a conflict, I tend to make it a little toned down. And so she got me to fire it up a little bit, like you were talking about in the first season, where Chaika is really struggling to sort of come to terms with having an actual friendship with the AIs. And she's sort of kicking and screaming almost. And so that I had to amp that up a little bit so that you could actually feel that, no, she's not actually angry at them, but she is very frustrated at her situation and at her emotions that aren't lining up. And also the whole of season one is her sort of initial grieving process.
They will be there on Mars. And I won't be alone anymore.
It's not much of a spoiler. It's not actually said until quite far into season one, but I think you understand quite quickly that, oh, her mother must be dead. She must have just died before Chaika embarks on the journey. And you don't find out that many details about how that happened, but you do understand that it has happened.
And also the other good thing about your show, it's very relaxing. I'm not sure if that's the vibe that you wanted to go with, but usually with stories of typical space or sci-fi story, there's high drama and there's like tremendous cliffhangers and there's a lot of chase scenes and laser guns and explosions, sort of like my show. But yours, I could just unwind and does something. It's very gentle in its approach. How it ends, it's soothing. You have the word of the day, which I enjoy.
The word of the day is Ubumnandi.
There's a mixture of reflection, of education. Was that deliberate to make it soothing and relaxing for the listener?
Yes, it was. Especially season one is that. And I mean, I think season two has elements of that as well. I think the whole idea for Chaika is sort of existentialist, right? It's a sort of, what is it to be human? What is it to be a person? What is connection? What is a future if there are only one person left or one human left? Or possibly if there are a handful of humans, what's that going to look like? What happens if Earth is destroyed? We don't know that yet in seasons one and two, but Earth stopped communicating and it's been silent since Chaika was a child. Earth seems to be not an option, is what you were sort of left with in this story. My previous audio drama, Y2K, was very sort of realistic drama, and it was voicemails and it was very sort of all there on the page, in your ears. And here I wanted to be more conceptual, I guess. So I have a lot more music for Chaika. And I also have, like you were saying, those elements of sort of pauses in between scenes that give another dimension to the story. And the poetry, I felt that Chaika was, as I was writing it, it was turning out to be a much more poetic story and a poetic show. And so it made sense to me to have poetry. And the words, of course, which is not said anywhere, so I guess this is an exclusive, although you can figure it out. The words, of course, are names of AIs. All the words are names of different language-based AIs in this world, although we only so far have met a few of them.
And what was the most difficult part of producing the show?
I not only write, I also cast it, I direct it, I do all of the sort of take selections, I do my dialogue edits, and I do all the sound design and music and mastering and marketing of the show.
My goodness, you do it all.
Yeah, I do everything apart from what the actors do. The hardest part always is not the creative bit. The hardest part is the marketing. I hate marketing. Because it's so endless. You know, you're never done and you never feel like you've done enough, even when you've done a lot. I do enjoy creating little videos and images and things like that. But just the whole slog of scheduling thousands, it feels, of posts everywhere and then going in and trying to engage just so superficially is dull. Anytime it goes to be sort of an actual interaction with a human, that is amazing. And I love that. But the mechanical stuff of marketing is boring.
I'm the same way when it comes to marketing the show. Sometimes I'm tempted and I probably will do this. Just give it over to somebody else to market it for me.
Yeah.
Because I think as creative people, we find that part of it not as creative.
No, exactly.
Yeah. I find the business part of it kind of dreary. I just like to write. I like the voice actors being on the show. For me, that's the fun part.
Yeah, I mean, I love directing and I'm a drama teacher in my regular job, although I have some other subjects now as well, but my baseline teaching is drama. So I love all of the interactions with actors and the directing, all of that stuff. I love it. Editing can sometimes be a little sort of, it's a bit of a slog, you know? It can get a bit tedious. It's amazing when you get it just right, when you have that feeling of, yeah, okay, that really worked. But then sometimes you just have this very long dialogue when they're moving about and they're putting teacups and moving things and you have to sort of put all the stuff in there and it's just boring. But generally the marketing is just, I actually tried to pay someone to do it and it took more time to instruct the person than I generally spend on the marketing myself. And I think they probably would have done a better job. I didn't have that time. So I think I need to find a different kind of person who is much more independent and probably more experienced as well. And then that will be more expensive for me, but probably will work better.
Karen is extremely talented. And that's why I wanted her to play the lead role in season 7. But here's the thing. She hasn't read a single line of the script yet. So she has no idea what she's getting into. But her answer is exactly what I wanted to hear.
I think I am kind of brave like that. And also, I've worked with you before and I had a blast. So I figured this will be a cool project to be a part of, whatever it is. And you're right, I don't know.
When I was doing my research before this interview, I realized that this is not Karen's first rodeo, so to say. This is not her first podcast. She was on another podcast called Y2K Pod. And there is another one. It's a Swedish podcast. My Swedish language is kind of rusty, so I didn't really listen to that one.
You've got to be kidding. You can't speak Swedish to save your life.
All right, enough of the interruptions. Here's Karen.
We did 100 episodes of a nonfiction podcast in Swedish. That's actually where I started in podcasting in 2018. It was me and two friends discussing pop culture, and it was a lot of fun, and I miss it. But once I started producing audio drama, of course, audio drama is so much more labor intensive than nonfiction podcasting. I just couldn't deal with audio drama production on top of nonfiction production. And neither of my co-hosts were able to sort of take that mantle. So we sort of wrapped it up after 100 episodes. Season 3 is going to be the final season of Cheka. It's going to sort of wrap up her story. And for that sort of story, I had from the very beginning, the very sort of concept, once I moved from that monologue of Cheka's mother and into this is going to be a long form series, I sort of saw the basic events and the basic arc of Cheka in 3 seasons. So I saw sort of, okay, first season's going to be this, second's going to be this, and third is going to be this. And so I am going to wrap that up. So Cheka will end after the next season.
Every creative person goes through constraints. Life is full of constraints and obligations. I like the way that Karen tries to balance these things out so that she could find time to write, despite of all the chaos.
I think there are definitely emotional states where it's much harder. I have two kids, and I think that's one of the things that I learned as a parent, that I can't sort of faff around, British expression there, and sort of go, I'm going to write something in a while, because I never know exactly when I'm going to have time. And they're older now, and I have much more time now, of course, but it's still that feeling of, I can't wait to do the things I want to do because my life and schedule doesn't look like that. So if I have a moment to write and I need to write, then I'm going to write. And it might not be any good because that day maybe I'm not in the inspired mood or whatever. But it's going to be something and I can always fix it later if it's no good. Getting into the emotions is usually works for me. And I sort of do it the same way that I approach voice acting, in that I sort of go into the head of whatever character I'm writing. And of course, sometimes it takes a while, but a lot of the time, if it's an emotional scene, I will sit there and write and cry and almost sort of, sometimes my husband will sort of go,
"Are you okay?"
I'm like, no, I'm just writing this really sad scene. And he'll be like, "Okay, I'm backing out of the room." Because I sort of put myself there to write it. And some scenes, I cry writing them, and then I cry when the actors are recording them. And then I cry listening to the actors' takes, and then I cry sound designing them. It resonates with me. I don't have to cry to feel that, yes, I did manage to say what I wanted emotionally. But of course, that does tell me that this is something that resonates with me. You never know if it's going to resonate with anyone else, but that's all I can do, right?
Thank you for listening to this interview with Karen Hemdahl. For more of her and to check out Chayka and her other podcast, Y2K Pod, please go on my website, welcometoearthstories.com. Also, on your handy dandy device within the show notes, I've placed all of the links for her show. And keep in mind, she will return in season 7 of this show. You can listen to Experimental Stories. It's the spin-off show of this one. A little bit more low-key. So give that a listen to as well. Well, that's about it for me. I'm busy still writing and still putting together season 7. If you want to get a hold of me, my handle is Poetic Earthling.
Tweet.
You take care of yourself, and remember, be kind to each other. Be a good earthling. And I'll talk to you soon.